Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
James Bean. Welcome to Spiritual Awakening Radio. This week's program is all about sound mysticism in Christianity and in Gnosticism. This is the Yoga of Sound series, exploring sound mysticism in the great world religions, spiritual classics, world scriptures, and the path of the masters. During part one, I shared various passages from Buddhist teachers and scriptures about sound meditation. I did that to provide a great introduction to this whole experience of hearing inner spiritual or heavenly sound. Especially the Buddhist tradition has a great perspective from the meditation cushion, a very practical, experiential explanation of sound and its effects upon the listener, the one who hears. I ended the program last week with a short shout-out to the Baha'i Faith, and I think I'll begin today sharing one of those passages from the Baha'i Faith. I don't have a lot of material from Baha'u'llah or other mystics of the Baha'i Faith, but this passage serves as a great example of light and sound mysticism, transcendental seeing and hearing in the great world religions. This is a short paragraph from Baha'u'llah, and then we'll move on to Christianity and Gnosticism. Baha'u'llah teaches, quoting from the Mathnawi, the great work written by Ja'aluddin Rumi, the Sufi poet, that man will not be able to receive the light of God in this day unless he acquires a new eye. Eyes which are fixed on the things of this world can never see the glory of his revelation, and ears which are tuned to the voices of the ungodly cannot hear the melodies of the kingdom. By new eyes and new ears, he means spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. He states that since the eye of the spirit receives its light from God, it is shameful to let it turn to a stranger, and reaffirms that the purpose of God in creating the inner eye was that man might behold the beauty of his manifestation in this world. God's manifestation in this world, or during this life. That's from the teachings of Baha'u'llah of the Baha'i Faith, which is somewhat similar to Sufism. The mystical aspects certainly are. For instance, the hidden words of Baha'u'llah is a very eloquent, poetic, spiritual, mystical text that might remind one of a Sufi poet like Rumi. Spiritual seeing and spiritual hearing, another kind of vision and another kind of audition for those who have ears to hear. That's the theme. Christianity, the Judeo-Christian and Gnostic traditions of the West. In the Coptic Gospel of Thomas, saying 17, we read, I will give you what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no hand has touched, and what has never occurred to the human mind. That's a saying attributed to Jesus from the Gospel of Thomas about another kind of seeing, another kind of hearing, another kind of perceiving or touching. And perceiving a realm that most people in this world don't even expect to exist. It just doesn't occur to the typical human mind. This is the revelation that the living master imparts to his or her students. There is an axiom of wisdom found in many world scriptures about exploring inner space, the kingdom of God, spiritually or mystically with new eyes, and hearing spiritually with new ears. This saying about seeing what no physical eye has seen and what no material ear has heard appears in many ancient scriptures of the West and the East. Visionary mysticism, inner seeing and hearing are universal experiences of contemplative souls in the various world religions. Living spiritual masters teach their students how to see and hear spiritually, initiating them into the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. I know of a few such living masters. They are rare in this world, but they do exist. Within the human body, with eyes closed during meditation, there are different kinds of lights, stars, moons, and suns, dark voids, lights within lights, visions within visions, like a tunnel, and beyond these is bright light, like the noonday sun. But the blind leading the blind will never speak of these experiences. Only masters who are experiencers, only mystics are interested in mysticism. In the Ethiopian Bible is preserved a Jewish apocryphal text that reminds me of a near-death experience. And this angel said to me, Isaiah, I set you free, for you have seen what no mortal man has ever seen before. Yet you must return to your garments of flesh until your days are completed. Then will you come up here again. Ascension of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 34. How cool is that? That's an example of an apocryphal text. That's why I'm into studying and collecting and exploring apocryphal texts, just for gems like that, amazing verses like that. It sounds like an NDE, a near-death experience. It's not your time yet, Isaiah. Go back to your body. But you'll be back. You'll be back one day soon. Jesus or Yeshua in the Jesus movement. How privileged are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. His power will be given to them, which no eye has seen, nor ear heard, and they will rejoice in my kingdom. A saying attributed to Jesus in an apocryphal book called Testament of the Lord in Galilee. The rest of you shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, whose delights no ear has heard described, which no eye has seen, and which has not appeared in the human heart. Jesus quoted in a document known as the Apocryphal Gospel of John, not to be confused with the canonical Gospel of John of the New Testament. This is an Apocryphal Gospel of John, an entirely different gospel. Yeshua says, what your own eyes cannot see, your human ears do not hear, your physical hands cannot touch, and what is inconceivable to the human mind, that I will give to you. Another translation of the Gospel of Thomas, saying 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Gnostic Paul, St. Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, says, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Unquote. A Manichaean scripture from Central Asia, that I may redeem you from death and annihilation, I will give you what you have not seen with the eye, nor heard with the ears, nor grasped with the hand. A passage found in the Turfan Fragments, translated in the book Gnosis on the Silk Road. The 10th century Persian Sufi master, Jilani, quotes an interesting passage from the Holy Quran in his book concerning the affirmation of divine oneness, a Sufi classic. I have prepared for my righteous servants that which no eye has ever seen, of which no ear has ever heard, and of which has never occurred to the heart of man. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? From the canonical prayer book of the Mandaeans, translated by E. S. Drower, "Thou hast showed us that which the eye has not seen, and caused us to hear that which the human ear has not heard. Thou hast freed us from death and united us with life, released us from darkness and united us with light. Thou hast shown us that which the eye has not seen, and caused us to hear that which the human ear has not heard." Kabir in India, from the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, or Sikh scriptures, also known as the Adi Granth, "May I see you with my eyes, hear your sound with my own ears, speak your name in my own words, O Lord. Rest your flower-like feet on my heart." Guru Nanak, also from India, "We speak without tongue, we see without eyes, we hear without ears, we walk without feet, and we work without hands." Amazing, isn't it? There is a universal mysticism, East and West. And that particular saying is so useful. What will happen to you if you follow the path? What will happen to you if you sit at the feet of the Master and receive initiation from him or her? What is the meditation technique about? What is the goal? Seeing in a new kind of way with transcendental sight. Hearing in a new kind of way with transcendental hearing. Tasting something of the heavens now by way of a contemplative meditation practice. For many, it will be a new concept to discover that there is such a thing as Christian mysticism. Well, it is true. The further west you go, the mysticism part dries up and is pretty scarce, shall we say. But the further east you go in Christianity, the more mystical it is. As in Mount Athos and Eastern Orthodoxy, the spiritual classics known as the Philokalia, a five-volume set of mystical writings of various saints. And then if you keep on going east, you end up in the Syriac, Aramaic East, home of St. Isaac of Nineveh, and the Syrian saints of the St. Thomas school of Christian mysticism, where there are a few more mystical rungs of the heavenly ladder, and some pretty amazing texts, at least in days gone by. The sound current, the audible life stream in the Judeo-Christian tradition and Gnostic and other mystical traditions. The English mystic Richard Rohr reflects in his spiritual classic, The Fire of Love, "When Christ wishes it, he receives within himself the song sent into him from the heavens, and his meditation is changed into melody, and his spirit lingers in marvelous harmony." An amazing passage where he is describing something of his own spiritual life, his own encounter with the divine in the silence of contemplative meditation practice. "In the light of God, which is called the kingdom of heaven, the sound is wholly soft, pleasant, lovely, pure, and thin. God, who is spirit, has, by and through his manifestation, introduced himself into distinct spirits, which are the voices of his eternal pregnant harmony, in the manifested word of his great kingdom of joy. They are God's instrument in which his spirit melodizes in his kingdom of joy. They are angels, the flames of fire and light in a living, understanding dominion." If you should, in this world, bring many thousand sorts of musical instruments together, and all should be tuned in the best manner, most artificially, and the most skillful masters of music should play on them in concert together, all would be no more than the howlings and barkings of dogs in comparison to the divine music which rises through the sound divine and tunes from eternity to eternity, said the German cobbler mystic Jacob Bohme, or Jacob Boheme, if you were going to pronounce it in an Americanized or Anglicized sort of way. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. The Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. The divine Logos is the helmsman and governor of the universe. The everlasting Logos of the eternal God is the very sure and staunch prop of the whole. But the shadow of God is his word, or Logos, which he used like an instrument when he was making the world. And this shadow, and as it were, model, is the archetype of other things. That's a passage from Philo of Alexandria, Egypt, a Jewish mystic greatly influenced by Pythagorean teachings and the Essenes and the Therapeutae, Greek philosophy. And he used that term logos at about the same time the Gospel of John was published. In the beginning was the Logos. Someone else was using that same vocabulary during the first century, late first century, the divine Logos. Heaven is ever making music, producing in accordance with its celestial motions the perfect harmony. To such strains, it is said, Moses was listening when, having become disembodied for 40 days and as many nights, he touched neither bread nor water at all. Another passage from Philo of Alexandria. From a chapter about the music of the spheres in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the founding master of the community known as the Teacher of Righteousness, in one of his hymns, said some very mystical things. My favorite part of the Dead Sea Scrolls are the Psalms, the Psalm Scroll. Behold, my heart was amazed that thus the Word was revealed to one with ears unattuned, and that a wayward heart was able to grasp these things, said the Master of Qumran. And there I'm using a translation called the Dead Sea Scriptures, translated by Theodore H. Gaster, published originally by Anchor Press. All quotes are for fair use, educational purposes. What else is Christ but the sound of God? It says in a book known as the Acts of John. Experiences with the sound current, people hearing heavenly music, are also recorded in the Bible and other spiritual writings of the West. The book of Revelation is an out-of-body experience. I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a peal of thunder. After that, the sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. Book of Revelation, New Testament. The heavenly sound of a trumpet induces the ascension to the heavens at the beginning of Revelation chapter 4 in the New Testament. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, unquote. Sound is what causes souls to ascend into the heavenly realms. And quite often, with these experiences described in scriptures like this, there is a sound. And then all of a sudden, someone has left their body and has gone to the third heaven or some other realm. Enoch, raised upon the wings of the Shekinah to the place of the throne. And I took him, that is, Enoch, the son of Jared, from among them, and I lifted him up with the sound of a trumpet and with a shout to the high heavens, to be my witness together with the angels by the Merkabah, or the throne in the world to come. And that is a verse found in a very rare book that's hard to find, called the Book of Third Enoch, or the Hebrew Book of Enoch, which is very close to the tradition of Kabbalah, or Jewish mysticism. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio today, exploring sound mysticism in the Judeo-Christian tradition and Gnosticism. After the break, more from my series, The Yoga of Sound, exploring sound mysticism in the great world religions, spiritual classics, mystics, and the path of the masters. Stay tuned.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Be vegan, make peace, be good to the planet, and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Thank you.
Spiritual Awakening Radio streams live every week at this time on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. Today's program is on the Yoga of Sound in Buddhism and in the Baha'i Faith. Before the break, I mentioned that mystics are the ones that notice the teachings and inner mechanics of previous mystics of past generations and appreciate the universal teachings wherever they turn up, in Gnostic texts, Dead Sea Scrolls, poetry of Rumi, wherever it's found, the teachings of Pythagoras on the music of the spheres. Mystics are the ones to notice these things, blog about these things, write books on these things. There are some fantastic books on Gnosticism, for instance, authored by Sant Mat initiates, like The Stranger of Galilee, The Gnostic Mystery, The Gospel of Jesus, books on the Hem of the Pearl, The Robe of Glory, Odes of Solomon. This blog, which I'm sharing today, is an 8,000-word blog which I created called The Yoga of Sound, which has quotes from just about every world religion where there are references to inner sound. My focus today is Buddhism and later on the Baha'i Faith. The following reading comes from A Buddhist Bible, edited by Dwight Goddard, a wonderful translation featuring a collection of Buddhist sutras and the Tao Te Ching of Lao Tzu. This is one of my favorite passages from any Buddhist sutra, the Srungama Sutra of Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin Buddha, the hearer and answerer of prayer, has visited all the Buddha lands of the 10 quarters of the universe and has acquired transcendental powers of boundless freedom and fearlessness and has vowed to emancipate all sentient beings from their bondage and suffering. How sweetly mysterious is the transcendental sound of Kuan Yin. It is the subdued murmur of the sea tide setting inward. Its mysterious sound brings liberation and peace to all sentient beings who, in their distress, are calling for aid. Srungama Sutra of the Buddha, found in A Buddhist Bible, edited by Dwight Goddard. Sentient beings pray, crying out for aid, for assistance, seeking to be liberated from their bondage and suffering, wherever they are in the cosmos. The vision presented here in this Srungama Sutra far transcends the earth itself and speaks of sentient life in many places in this realm of matter and dark matter that we call the universe or the multiverse, what some masters call Pinda Desh, the gross material realm. Prayer can be answered, especially given this big picture view of Buddha lands of the 10 quarters of the universe, and this liberation process of sentient beings crying out to be free, as if they're sort of being birthed in the womb of matter and will go through some kind of tunnel to a bright light, a brightly lit realm, and be born into that realm, will be given birth somehow into this other realm. The sound comes and leads them home, guides them along their way. A transcendental hearing, a transcendental sound that liberates souls. Also from the Sringama Sutra, Ananda, the disciple, and all you who listen here should inwardly turn your faculty of hearing to hear your own nature, which alone achieves supreme bodhi. That is how enlightenment is won. Buddhas, as many as the Ganges sand, entered this one gateway to nirvana. All past Buddhas have achieved this method. Sringama Sutra. Listening to our own Buddha nature, turning inward our faculty of hearing, is the pathway to enlightenment. For all past Buddhas and present disciples, living disciples, living students are given that same instruction to turn inward their faculty of hearing in order to reach enlightenment. Some commentary from Ajahn Amaro. Listening to the inner sound brings the heart into a position of acute inner awareness. It is not that the inner sound has some magical property. Rather, it is that bringing of the alert mind, bringing openness and receptivity to sound, is symbolic of the presence of ultimate truth. The sound is always there. We don't have to create it. It is featureless. It is ever-present. So it is a good symbol for ultimate reality itself. More spiritual awakening to come after these messages. Stay tuned.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
Be vegan, make peace, be good to the planet, and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
of his letters to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul described an experience that he once had, a mystical experience of ascending to the third heaven, hearing and seeing things that it was unlawful to disclose to the uninitiated, secret things he did not want to repeat. He had some kind of vision of the third heaven, heard and saw things there that for him identified his experience as that of the third heaven, as opposed to the second or the fourth. In the system that he evidently followed, based on teachings of mystical Judaism, certain visions are associated with each of the heavens, certain lights and sounds or visions. And based on what he was seeing and hearing, he concluded he was experiencing the third heaven, which he refers to in his letter to the Corinthians as paradise. One day I was reading the book of 2 Enoch, and in there too, the third heaven is called paradise. Evidently, there was some Jewish mystical cosmology, and the term paradise was associated with the third heaven. The experience Paul had was so vivid that he said he didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body, thus coining the term out-of-body experience. Since so much of the New Testament literature was banned, burned, or censored, there's so little left, it's hard to really draw any conclusions about anything that you might read, the few scraps and bits and pieces or crumbs that are left. But if you were to access all of the writings of the period, those first couple of centuries A.D., all the various Gospels, if you grab a copy of the Nag Hammadi Library, Pista Sophia, or other texts, a bigger picture emerges. And there are other apostles who also describe experiences in various heavenly realms. Heaven number one, heaven number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight. This was something that was written about. This was something that some people experienced or believed in. The ascension of the soul through the heavens, that heaven's not just for dead people, but living contemplative souls can catch a glimpse of the heavenly realms too. That was a belief, and that was a practice. Human beings can see something of the heavenly realms now. Human beings can hear something of the heavenly realms now. The early church father Origen of Alexandria described the spiritual senses, that the soul has eyes, the soul has ears, has spiritual senses, and can interact with other realms. The following is from Hermes Trismegistus, the Corpus Hermeticum of Egypt. Listen within yourself and look into the infinitude of space and time. There can be heard the songs of the constellations, the voices of the numbers, and the harmonies of the spheres. That passage very much seems greatly influenced by the teachings of Pythagoras and the Pythagoreans about the mystical music of the spheres. Before the Sufi mystics of Islam, in ancient times, there were Gnostics, Jewish Gnostics, Hermetic Gnostics, and Christian mystics who also described hearing the sound and seeing mystic visions of light and the heavens while in deep states of contemplative meditation. The following is from The Gnostic Mystery by Professor Andrea Diem Lane. In her book about Sant Mat and Gnosticism, she frequently quotes from the Nag Hammadi Library, a New Testament-like collection of codices written in the Coptic language of Egypt, following a format of Gospels, spiritual discourses, and apocalypses, or books of revelation, attributed to various disciples. Man's soul shall become, when it leaveth the body, a great flood of light, so as to traverse all the regions until it cometh into the kingdom of mystery. I turned to myself, and I saw light that surrounded me and the good that was in me. I became divine. A passage from the book of 1 Alagenus, which literally means the stranger or foreigner. In ancient times, there were several books of Alagenus. In this day and age, two have been unearthed in Egypt, and hopefully we'll get at some of the other books in the Alagenus series one of these days. In Trimorphic Protonoa, the Gnostic writer in the voice of God describes how this transformation takes place. I cast a sound into the ears of those who know me, and I am inviting you into the exalted, perfect light. Moreover, as for this light, when you enter it, you will be glorified. You will become gloriously glorious, the way you first were when you were light. And I hid myself in everyone, and revealed myself within them, and every mind seeking me longed for me. For it is I who gave shape to the all, when it had no form. And I transformed their forms into other forms until the time when a form will be given to the all. And through me that the voice originated, and it is a word by virtue of a sound, it was sent to illumine those who dwell in darkness. I am a light that illuminates the all. I am the light that rejoices in my brethren, for I came down to the world of mortals. A very godlike voice. In the book of Trimorphic Protonoa, which is one of the more esoteric Sethian Gnostic texts that have secrets to tell, secret names or seals, the five seals, the five names, the five sacred names associated with five different heavenly regions. And these names are to be repeated by the soul in their contemplative state. And these are like passwords that allow the soul to ascend past the first heaven, past the second, past the third, and so on. These are very Hebrew-sounding names that are embedded in what's otherwise a Coptic text. Trimorphic Protonoa is one of the more interesting of the Gnostic Gospels of the Nag Hammadi Library. After the break, more of the secrets of the Gnostics, spiritual practice, an initiation in Gnosticism, the ascent of the soul. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. Stay tuned.
Loving Hut is the fastest growing chain of animal-free gourmet vegan restaurants all over the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a healthy, sustainable, planet-friendly, plant-based diet. All mouth-watering items on the menu are 100% vegan. In the Atlanta area, visit Loving Hut at 6385 Spalding Drive, Norcross, Georgia. To see what's on the menu, get driving directions or other information, go to lovinghut.us/Georgia. lovinghut.us/Georgia. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/lovinghutga. That's facebook.com/lovinghutga.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
When it comes to the study of early Christian history and mysticism, this saying really applies. History is written by the victors. That's especially true of early Christian history. Covering that period of the first century, second, third, and fourth centuries A.D., Some things don't quite add up. Some things don't make sense. That's my conclusion after hanging out with this period of time for a few decades, researching apocryphal writings and the history of this period. I find that the Orthodox weren't really quite as Orthodox as we were led to believe. That books of the Nag Hammadi Library came out of a monastery founded by Saint Pachomius, claimed by Orthodoxy, in the 4th century. Athanasius of Alexandria once said, "God became man so that man might become God." I suppose he would have been burnt at the stake if he lived in the colonies a couple of centuries ago, perhaps near Salem, Massachusetts, for saying something like that. Early church fathers sometimes advocated following a vegetarian diet and quoted from the Gospel of the Hebrews, a gospel followed by Hebrew Christians that had a Jesus proclaiming vegetarian ethics in it. Some early church fathers, claimed by Orthodoxy and Catholicism, were very strong vegetarians, quoting from the Gospel of the Hebrews, saying we should all be vegetarians. Some early church fathers quoted from the book of 1st Enoch as scripture. They'd be quoting, saying, "It is written in the scriptures," and the quote actually comes from the book of 1st Enoch. Gnostic teacher Valentinus of Alexandria, during the 2nd century, actually thought he had a shot at becoming Bishop of Rome, a.k.a. the Pope. What kind of Christianity is that? Not quite as Orthodox as we were led to believe. And rather than a decimated library filled with empty shelves, Christians during the early centuries read all sorts of books. Not just 27, not just 4 Gospels. Gospel of Peter, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Philip, Gospel of Truth. Hundreds of books. What kind of Christianity is that when in your Pachomian library you have monks studying Trimorphic Protonoa, the Book of Alagenus, Odes of Solomon, and all of these amazing writings? Hundreds of books, a kind of Egyptian Book of the Dead in Egypt, a kind of Tibet of the West, filled with mystics and monks, and hundreds of texts that present a very different form of Christianity. What kind of Christianity is that if you add the Nag Hammadi Library to it and all of these other Gnostic texts? People read those texts and followed the practices found in those texts, advocated by those texts. That's a very different sort of Christianity, more Eastern kind of orientation. History is written by the victors, but things weren't quite as Orthodox as we were led to believe. The mysticism of sound in the Judeo-Christian Gnostic traditions today on Spiritual Awakening Radio. When describing the philosophical nature of the cosmos, Gnostic writers emphasize this sound current variously, referred to as the word, logos, speech, voice, or simply sound. Also throughout Gnostic texts, reference is made to the manifestation of a mystical light, a real light seen, known as treasury of light, immeasurable light, etc. It says in Trimorphic Protonoa, "I am the Word who dwells in the ineffable silence. I dwell in the undefiled light." And a thought revealed itself perceptibly through the great sound. And it, the sound, exists from the beginning in the foundations of the All. But there is a light that dwells hidden in the silence, and it was the first to come forth. I alone am the Word. It was the first to come forth. I alone am the Word. Ineffable, incorruptible, immeasurable, inconceivable. The Word is a hidden light, being unreproducible, an immeasurable light, the source of all. It is the foundation that supports every movement of the aeons that belong to the mighty glory. It is the founding of every foundation. It is the breath of the powers. It is the eye of the three permanences, which exist as a voice by virtue of a thought, and it is a word by virtue of the sound. I, the word, became a foundation for the all, the cosmos, the universe, the multiverse. Trimorphic Protonoa. More from Trimorphic Protonoa. I am a voice speaking softly. I exist from the first. I dwell within the silence. And it says in thunder, perfect mind, I am the silence that is incomprehensible. I am the voice whose sound is manifold and the word whose appearance is multiple. I am the hearing which can be attained by everyone. He is the first father of the all. He is the first being. He is the first source. He it is whose voice has penetrated everywhere. He is the first sound whereby the all perceives and understands. From a hymn in the untitled text of the Bruce Codex. I believe that Gnostic practice looks something like this. There is a meditation cave like the ones found near Nag Hammadi, where the books were found near the Nag Hammadi discovery site. In the silence and in the otherworldly darkness of the night or the starry Egyptian sky, monks would sit in silence and meditate and would repeat five rather Hebrew-sounding names in what's otherwise a Coptic manuscript, Coptic language manuscript like Trimorphic Protonoa. They would repeat these names. These names are associated with different heavenly realms, the four lights and the self-begotten one in the fifth realm beyond that. And it was like pressing the elevator button going up, a kind of ascension process. And beyond that is light and then contemplating divine sound, which brings one to a greater level of stillness and otherworldly soul travel or transport into heavenly realms. To receive a copy of today's program and the whole series on the Yoga of Sound, send me an email at this address, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. james@spiritualawakeningradio.com, or send a text message to this number, 508-603-9381. Visit my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean. Thanks for listening.
Please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on your plate. If you want to please your palate while still promoting love and harmony with the planet, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest growing vegan fast food chain in the world, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California in July of 2008. To learn more, go to www.lovinghut.us. Once again, the address is www.lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/spiritualawakeningradio, where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.